This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Maybe I'm crazy, but if you snatch my chain, we're gonna have to fight. I don't wear a chain, but if you did, we gotta fight. We gotta throw hands. Maybe I'm crazy. Welcome to Maybe I'm Crazy Podcast. I'm Joy Taylor. Thanks so much for joining us this week. No guests this week, but I am gonna give you my top 10 reactions to week one of the NFL, which was... So first, let's start with the New York Jets. Le'Veon Bell's going to be out for a couple weeks. What a disaster against the Bills. I mean, the Jets just can't get right. I don't know what else to say about them at this point. I think maybe they'll win six games. I feel bad for Sam Darnold and for Jets fans, having been a Jets fan 1 year out of my 33 years on this earth. I feel for you. It's a never-ending cycle of despair. I'm so sorry. Next, the Washington football team. Wow. Riverboat Ron gets an IV at halftime. They come out with a young man, Dwayne Haskins, playing well, beat the Eagles, shocked the world. I don't think this is anything to overreact to, but it's a great win. They're sitting up top of the NFC East right now as we speak, which is pretty incredible and unexpected. But overall, it was just an amazing performance by that Washington defense, sacking Carson Wentz 8 times. Carson Wentz throwing 2 interceptions. Bad day for Carson Wentz. I think I might have been a little wrong about the Eagles this year. Obviously, I don't want to react too much to week one, but man, bad loss for the Eagles. And shout out to Washington. Can't take anything away from them. That was an incredible win. Next, Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. So they have a ton of injuries now. Van Der Esch is out. They lost their tight end. And it's just a really lackluster performance to me from the Cowboys here in LA against the Rams and SoFi's opening. Look, the Rams are better than people give them credit for. Everyone's overreacting to them not making it back to the Super Bowl and winning. But I'm very high on the Cowboys as far as them. Well, I shouldn't say I'm very high on the Cowboys. I have them winning the NFC East. I don't want everyone to freak out. And yeah, that call could have gone either way. But man, you got to do better than that, Mike McCarthy. It's just not what you want to see out of the Cowboys week one. Aaron Rodgers is still really, really good at football. He's pretty good. I might have canceled the Packers a little bit too soon. Again, I don't want to be overreact to week one, guy, but whew, I mean, that was some vintage Aaron Rodgers, everybody needs to relax type shit. And I think the Vikings are still a good team. I don't love Kirk Cousins, of course, I never have, but that was a great performance out of the Packers week one. I don't think that they're that good. I don't think that the Vikings are that bad. But Aaron Rodgers looks as good as ever, and Davante Adams and that offense was rolling. So if they keep that going, they're going to be a problem and probably make the playoffs and make my playoff prediction look really bad. I'm okay with it, though, because I love Aaron Rodgers. Joe Burrow. Gotta love you, Joe. I knew he'd be great. Okay, he wasn't great, but I like that performance. Nice little run, 27 yards. Waiting for the block. He looked poised. He didn't look scared. He stayed in the pocket. His feet were good. What else can you ask for? He got his team down there at the end of the game, 2-minute drill, to put them in a position to send them into overtime against a very good Chargers offense, even though they looked terrible in that game. You can't ask for anything more from a starting quarterback rookie in his first game in a pandemic. I thought he was great, considering the circumstances. What more can you ask for? He was getting harassed back there. I don't know what happened with their kicker, but that's a whole other story. He got bangled. Look, he's going to have to overcome a really dysfunctional situation in Cincinnati. They had the number one overall pick for a reason, but I think he looked great for the circumstances and situations that he had to deal with. Russell Wilson continues to be the most disrespected athlete in professional sports. I mean, just greatness. A practically perfect game. Unbelievable performance. And no one's even really talking about it. Just like, oh, well, you know, that's what Russell Wilson does. He just goes out there and it's just great every single week. Russell Wilson was awesome, and we need to start paying attention to it. Like, it's time. It's time we give Russell his flowers. It's time. Gardner Minshew. I see you, Minshew. I see you. Look, you got to give the Jaguars credit. All Colts fans could tell me is what a loser I was for not putting them in the playoffs this year. You got old man Philip Rivers, old man Rivers out here throwing his vintage interceptions. Now look, you should never ask him to throw 46 times a game. It's ridiculous. You got to rely on the run a little bit more than that if you're the Colts. But Jags are supposed to be tanking this year and come out week one and get a very convincing win over a Colts team that's not a bad team, completely rebuilt offensive line, got good pieces, and they just paid Philip Rivers a ton of money to come in there and go all out this year. So I love what I saw from Minshew and the Jaguars. Now, I don't think this is anything to go crazy about. They're still the Jaguars, but great week one win. Awesome performance out of Gardner Minshew, who looks like he's a player. Like, he seems legit. His numbers are trending in that direction. I think it's time we have to start talking about him as a legitimate quarterback. Oh, Mitch Trubisky. Fourth quarter Mitch. I am not overreacting to that performance out of Mitchell Trubisky in the fourth quarter. I'm just not going to do it. You're not going to get me with that. It's the Detroit Lions. Sorry, Donnie. Love you guys, but I got a lot of love for Detroit. But it's the Lions, okay? He's dropping it, DeAndre Swift in the end zone. Touched it, winning touchdown. I mean, it's okay. It's a good performance out of Trubisky. Nice game. Still not the guy. Not convinced. Finally, Big Ben and my Steelers back at it on Monday Night Football. Get a great win over the Giants, as they should have. Really, really weird performance out of the Giants. Daniel Jones had some moments, but you got to get Saquon more involved in that. Couldn't get anything going in the running game, and Saquon is great. They have a lot of things to still figure out with New York, but that was expected. You have a new head coach, you have a young quarterback, those teams are going to struggle, as we discussed many times before the season started. But I did love what I saw out of the defense in Pittsburgh. Dominant performance, forcing turnovers, getting Daniel Jones on the ground, stopping that run, and we were all looking to see what Big Ben was going to do. He looked like himself. Not particularly quick, but he was slinging it around, he looks healthy, he looks as spry as Big Ben can look, and they did what they're supposed to do, which is beat a bad team. So happy with Big Ben's performance. Glad he's back. Still have the Steelers making the wild card. They're not going to win the division over the Ravens, but I feel good about them in week one.
We about to turn up in this bitch.
What up, Heller?
What's up, Joy?
What's Poppington, Heller?
Yeah, I had that one queued up, but then I wasted it on a bad take a second ago. So
I forgot to start recording. What am I doing in Win It or Quit It? What am I winning or quitting this week?
We got a bunch of good stuff. Let's get into it. Cam Newton's first start in New England went really well. The Pats beat your Dolphins 21-11 in Foxborough. Superman had 15 completions, 15 rushes, but left his chain and maybe a hamstring on the field. Bill Belichick seems excited to have some new film to review and can prove for at least 1 week he's still clearly that dude. Joy, Cam Newton and Bill Belichick have a mutually beneficial type relationship. Would it or quit it?
Oh, would it. Would it. And they're both playing it just wonderfully. I love it. Yeah. And I'm cool with it. Everyone had all these questions about if Cam Newton was going to be able to work in the system, myself included. Now, I knew that Cam still had greatness in him. I knew he was still a starting quarterback. But no. To fit into a system like New England's, that's difficult for most people to do. In fact, Tom Brady got tired of that. That's why he's in Tampa Bay right now. So
he did 20 years later, yep.
Yeah, 20 years later. Yeah, it took him a little while, but he got there. The point is, that's a very difficult system to deal with. It's a very difficult culture to be in, especially if you're a star. Rob Gronkowski's talked about it, and he was pretty much able to do whatever it is he wanted, and he still talked about how it's you know, you're not really allowed to be a star there. And they've been super flexible with him. It seems like he's the same guy, you know? He's still celebrating. He's still, you know, doing his thing.
Still
and,
Cam.
You know, just everywhere he goes. He's still Cam. He's still got the outfits. He's still got the hats and the scarves and the shoes.
Yep.
Oh, my. I think it's great. I think it's great that he is still being himself while actually translating it to the football field. And New England is allowing him to play the way that Cam Newton plays, which is just bigger and stronger than everybody else on the field. Now, I don't know if he can maintain that for an entire season.
They shouldn't. They're not going to. They're not going to make him do that every game.
And I don't think we should overreact to them beating the Dolphins, but I loved what I saw from Cam Newton this week. I thought it was great. And Bill Belichick, you know, talking with Cam after the games, you know, it was a little snatching of the chain action, which is just unacceptable. Mad disrespect, although the Dolphins have denied that that's what they were doing. There was, in fact, a chain snatched. And I'm a Dolphins fan, so let's just keep it real. You snatch his chain. You snatch his chain. You say you snatch his chain, and that's that.
That's why I don't wear chains.
I don't really know what went on in that situation. I did see that Cam was super upset after the game, and then I saw the video afterwards and was like, yeah, that's completely understandable. So overall, I like that Cam is being himself. He said he told Coach Belichick the College Park almost came out of me. I like it. Bill is proving that he can deal with a superstar and adapt his offense and his team to match what that superstar does great. And Cam Newton is proving he can work within one of the most difficult systems and most structured cultures in the league, if not the most structured culture in the league. It's a mutually beneficial situation for both of them. I don't think it's a long-term situation. I don't think anybody thinks that, and that's fine. Cam's going to end up somewhere as a starting quarterback next year, or maybe they extend him, who knows, but either way, it's working, and I can't say I'm surprised because I called this, not necessarily the New England part, but the Cam working part, definitely called. And oh, by the way, what happened to Jared Stidham? Something about like?
Is it Jared or Jarrett? Jarrett. Do you say Jared though? Is it Jarrett?
Jarrett.
This is the most run he's gotten actually in a few weeks now. I'm honestly impressed, Joy. Bill Belichick seems to really be taking to his millennial workplace training that he's getting by working with Cam Newton. Like, imagining what he is going to respond to when Cam says he could feel the College Park coming out is a fun game for me in my mind. Like, okay, or all right. Like, I don't know what that was probably a new one for him, at least up close. But, I mean, he's doing great. By the time the season's over, he's going to have a TikTok, Belichick. He's going to
Belichick's a new man. He's got commercials. Like, I don't know who this guy is, but I think it's great. I think at first Brady was winning the divorce. And then Belichick was like, okay, but see what I got going on here. And then it kind of looked like Brady was winning the divorce again. And then for week one, Belichick has won the divorce.
When the moment that Cam and Josh McDaniels fist bumped on the bench while Brady was looking sort of washed with the Bucks throwing it to nobody and the other team, I mean, that's got to be a nice moment for Bill. That's got to make it all the internet troubleshooting and other millennial things he's got to do by himself now worth it. You know what I mean? He's probably going to come out with a new hat look.
Yeah.
This is exciting. But one thing I wanted to ask you though, and you alluded to it, was that they're not going to run Cam 15 times every game. Like, that's
no, it's not sustainable. It doesn't make sense to do that anyway. I mean, I do think they are going to lean on Cam's running ability and they're going to put in plans runs for Cam to keep the defense honest, and why wouldn't you? Like, that's what Cam does, and he looked like vintage Cam, but for a whole season that doesn't make sense. It's not sustainable. We've seen that because Cam's had a ton of injuries. So I do think that they are going to mix it up, and against a team like the Dolphins you can do that, but you know, teams that have a tougher defensive line, that's not really going to work as well. So I think they'll mix it up, but they are going to have, they're going to use Cam in that way and have it as a part of your offense to keep the defense honest throughout the season.
But like Sony Michel's got to get more carries than him. Yeah. Like we just need it was this many, it was 15 and that's too many. It needs to be like
less than this many.
And I think this many for only those people watching, just that many would be too many. Anything less than that many would be good.
For anyone who is just listening, we did 15 and we want to keep it around like 10 or less.
Or less. Okay. All right. Let's keep it remedial and counting and with a nursery rhyme. Patty cake, baker's plan. Make the Browns lose as fast as he can. Throw it incomplete and mark it with an L. Baker has some more progressive ads to sell. Joy, Baker Mayfield is one more losing season away from being a backup, straight up. Win it or quit it.
Oh, win it, for sure. And I actually think they're already in a must-win situation this Thursday. They have to win this game Thursday because let's look at the division, right? So the Ravens just won, smoked them this week.
Dominant.
The Pittsburgh Steelers look great. Smoked the Giants. Now it is the Giants. It is the Giants, but you win. You got to beat who you play, right?
And they beat them. You play to win the game. Yeah. That's it.
and they beat them. So you've got the Steelers with the win. You've got the Ravens with the win. You have one loss in the division already, and you have another division opponent coming up on Thursday. You got to win that game. It's a must-win game for Cleveland, no matter how you look at it. Like, you got to win your division games, and you already have one L on the season. Now, look, like, we could have looked at the schedule before the season started and said that this was a must-win game. Nobody really expected the Ravens to lose, Burrow did not look terrible.
No one expected your boy either to almost win.
Right. Burrow did not look terrible, and that was against the Chargers team that's pretty decent. They were in the position to win the game if that kicker guy didn't decide he was going to fake pull his calf muscle and shank it. So I'm not completely confident that the Browns are going to beat the Bengals on Thursday. I don't think I'm overreacting in saying that. It's not going to be a cakewalk. And on a short week,
pretty exciting game.
it's a big game. I don't think I'm exaggerating there. It's a must win game, and more so than just obviously like I said, we could have looked at the schedule and said that this was a must win game, but more so than just getting a division win, starting the season with two division opponents.
Yep.
If Joe Burrow,
I know where you're going with this.
Cincinnati Bengals beat the Cleveland Browns on Thursday Night Football, mm-hmm. it is going to be all hands on deck on the hype machine for Baker Mayfield is not a starting quarterback in this league. Extravaganza. So
That's side by side.
You can't afford to lose this game. Just for morale purposes, if nothing else, like you need to win this division game.
Buy-in.
Morale purposes, buy-in, like you have to beat the Bengals on Thursday, and I don't think it's being too dramatic to say it's not a gimme game anymore. Like the Bengals, now they did lose an offensive lineman, which is not great, but it's not a gimme game, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned. I have concerns.
No game is a gimme game. The Battle of Ohio cannot be decided beforehand. That's for sure. But this reminds me, Joy, of the moment where I saw for the first time, I think it was during the playoffs. I think, remember when Dame hit that shot against the Thunder with Russ? And I remember I loved Russ. I thought Russ was the most exciting, pedal to the metal, you know, point guard in the league. And then I saw a good version of him right next to him in Damian Lillard. And I was like, uh-oh, Russ, this is bad for you. This is Baker. Baker could be painted with a crazy Russ brush here. Russ Westbrook, not Wilson. You know, that was good confusing.
No,
but
I think
you don't want that. You don't want this to go. No.
You don't want this to go bad. And I see where you're going there. I would say that Russell Westbrook is significantly better than a Baker Mayfield comp, but I do see where you're going there. It's not going to be good for Baker whatsoever if Joe Burrow comes in, number one overall pick. Other team in the state, traditionally bad also, and comes in the second game in the league and beats the Browns with Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry and Miles Garrett and Baker Mayfield and
Odell
Hunt and Nick Chubb. Like, that's going to be a dramatic reaction. And it's going to be warranted. Like, I understand that the situation in Cleveland is not all Baker's fault, and I don't put it all at Baker's feet. I put it at the feet of the owner in the front office. Because who can overcome that kind of dysfunction and that many personnel changes? No one. But unfortunately, that's where the chips fell. And you just got to make it happen. And as the starting quarterback and the number one overall pick, that falls on you. So I'm a big Baker fan. I hope that doesn't happen. But I, you know, being someone who knows how the sausage is made, that's going to be no good. No good for you.
Joy, I'm feel free to push back on this, but we're coastal elites. And we are excited about Baker Mayfield. So if anyone wants him to succeed, it should be the Browns, because he puts them in the headlines and makes them relevant. But once you're in the headlines, then everyone's watching you. And if it goes bad, then everyone sees, and then you're never a starting quarterback ever again. So
that's
like
how it goes. And look, I didn't buy into the whole commercial thing last year, but when I saw his commercial this year, I was like, oh, we're still doing, we're, Oh.
Well, what's he's supposed to say no to the money?
Yeah.
They came up with another commercial. He's supposed to say, nah, let's not shoot this one, y'all. I'm not playing well enough. I don't know.
Yeah, you actually kind of do. Like, and listen, I'm not counting anybody's dollar rooskies right now, but you're making good money, dude. You're the number one overall pick in the NFL. It's not like Dak Prescott just now started doing commercials. Like there's guys out there who have said, like, I did not do commercials right away because I did not want that kind of pressure. I'm saying do whatever you want, but with doing those commercials, you put that kind of pressure on yourself. I didn't buy into it last year, but after the year that they had last year and all that talk, I couldn't hear enough about how good Freddie Kitchens was. Okay. You're trying to make me eat this Freddie Kitchens sandwich all year last year, right? And then now the first commercial I see is you trying to, another progressive commercial in the stadium. That's a lot. Optics matter.
You don't like that? You're not enjoying this. You're not enjoying the Stefanski burger so far.
It's more like a Stefanski sushi roll. He's more like. He's okay. A little more sophisticated. I don't know. Maybe sushi. I think. Yeah, that's like a Stefanski. It's like a Stefanski turkey wrap. You know, it's like a little healthy, but like not really, because it's actually low key a lot of carbs and calories because you get the cheese and condiments and stuff. But like, it's acceptable. It's an acceptable lunch. You know, and I don't know. I like the way that it looks and sounds. The Stefanski turkey wrap. You know, like with the chillness, and we're going to go out there and prove ourselves, and there's no talking, and like that's the brand that the Cleveland Browns should have always had. They should be gritty and tough and blue collar, and we don't talk about it, we just be about it, and don't worry about what we're going to be this year. We're going to show you what we're going to be this year, and just stop building up this enormous amount of pressure on yourself when you have proven nothing in this league in like the past 25 years. When was the last time? I don't want to be too exaggerated. 2002. Okay, it was the last time they made the playoffs. So 18 years, you've been telling me how good you are. Just go be good. At one point or another, you just have to go be good. So I do like that is the approach that Kevin Stefanski has this year. Whether or not it's actually going to work is a whole different story. That's why I think this game on Thursday is massive for the Browns.
Dog pound. We'll see what they got.
Hey, Donnie. What's going on? High key, low key this week.
All right, high key, after 4 years under Mike D'Antoni, the Rockets could never break through that outer atmosphere of the Western Conference. And now he's gone. Low key, if a culture reset doesn't happen fast in Houston, when it comes to title contention, I think it's going to be a long, long time till they're back. Agree or disagree?
I agree. I'm not someone who roots for people to lose their job, although we kind of knew this was coming because it was the end of his contract, and you usually don't have coaches coaching on a dead year. You extend them before that, because then you're making decisions for right now instead of right now and the future, because you have no plans on being there. I don't think that D'Antoni is the right coach for this situation. I don't know if he is a championship coach. I mean, he's never won a championship, and he keeps getting he's not technically a championship coach, but like, is he a coach that you bring in and you're like, yeah, we can win a championship with D'Antoni? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so anymore. I don't know that he has that in him. And I don't like their style of play. Like I never have. I tried to buy in really hard to the Rockets this year because of Westbrook. And I liked the way that they were playing in the bubble with the defense. It was interesting. It was different for them. They seemed really like different, just motivated and a little gritty. It was just a different kind of team. And then everything fell apart at the end. You know, you got Daniel House doing what he's doing, and like, that's your sixth man. He's, you know, like, you could be out of here in like a week. You know what I'm saying? And that's a whole different conversation. But I just think it speaks to the culture there in Houston. I don't like the way that I don't want to say this. It's hard. Like, it's hard to watch the Rockets and like truly enjoy them in the playoffs. And that's when it matters. Like, they're a great regular season team.
Exactly. And they're so fun to watch in the regular season.
And it just never translates to the postseason. I don't know if it's just the way they're set up. I don't know if it's D'Antoni, but I'm ready to see something new in Houston. And I don't want D'Antoni to go to the 76ers and do that to them either. So I know he's going to get another job because he's already in the NBA coaching carousel, and we know how that goes, but it might just be, you know, just one of those things where you transition to the front office or something. Like, I just don't know if he's the guy that's ever going to put you in a situation to win a championship. Right. And some organizations don't care about winning championships. Some organizations just want to be regular season teams. Like, everybody doesn't.
Yeah, get fans in the stands.
And yeah. So maybe
sell tickets.
Maybe that's the situation. I don't think that that's the 76ers. Like, I imagine that being in Philly, you have higher aspirations than that. I know Philadelphia sports fans are not into that. So I don't know. I don't know where he ends up. I don't know what direction the Houston Rockets go in, but this was one we could see coming, and it was the right move.
All right. High key. Tom Brady's done. It's time for Philly to panic. And the Jaguars are legit. Low key, after a mostly virtual offseason and no preseason games, the week one overreactions this year, they feel even more overreaction-y.
Oh, yeah. The week one overreactions are very dramatic. Even from Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians saying that Tom Brady's going to come in with more grit and determination. Like, that's not really Tom Brady's problem. His problem is he's 43 years old and he's with a new organization and new teammates that he has only been around for a month. But he's not really – you don't really ever hear anyone say that Tom Brady isn't determined. That's not really –
no, not at all.
Everyone's overreacting to everything. Gardner Minshew and the Jaguars are going to go 10-6. No, I don't think anybody's saying that. But we're getting a little crazy. Philly's no reason to panic, all right? Washington's defense was going to be good. We didn't think they were going to be that good. And there are some things that you need to adjust. Like, everyone needs to learn something from week one. But I don't think there's anything to go too crazy about. Like, Aaron Rodgers, unbelievable week one. Definitely didn't see that performance coming. But it's still Aaron Rodgers. It's, you know, he's still Devontae Adams. I don't think the Vikings are that bad. I don't think the Browns are that bad. Everything's going to even out. Just give it a couple weeks. We always overreact to week one. I do it too. Just kind of remember, like, let's not cancel Tom Brady just yet. And let's not crown, you know, the Jags Super Bowl contenders. Let's all just take a deep breath. Enjoy watching football, which was a great NFL Sunday. The one thing, unfortunately, I think that we can all agree on is that the Lions are going to lion.
I was going to say, there's no overreactions there. The Lions are doing what they normally do. So, like, the season's over. The sky's falling, as usual, though. So that's not an overreaction.
Yeah, you know I got love for Detroit, but
we made Mitchell Trubisky look amazing in that fourth quarter.
Which is another thing nobody needs to overreact to. It's so much Trubisky. Everyone just calm down.
All right, high key, the Washington football team sits atop the division after rallying to beat the Eagles on Sunday. Low key, after the Cowboys and the Giants also took L's this week, is the battle for the NFC East shaping up to be another best of the worst type situation?
Yeah, I think so. Again, I don't want to get too crazy about the Eagles, but I mean, Washington is at the top of the NFC East in week one. Who saw that coming? Okay, nobody. Nobody saw that coming.
No.
Dwayne Haskins came out there, led his team to a comeback, looked pretty good.
Yeah,
I didn't know what to expect from Dwayne Haskins this year. Again, I'm not going to get crazy, but, like, the Giants look bleh. And
that
the
running
Cowboys,
game.
That, like, that's not how the game should have ended for the Cowboys either.
Yeah. That sucks.
The Eagles obviously got harassed by Washington's defense, but I just don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what to expect. Now the Cowboys have all these injuries. It's going to be an interesting year in the NFC East, and it shaped out to be that way very quickly. Like, the expectations
that was
they had for the Eagles and for the Cowboys have taken a significant step back. Not an overreaction, just, you know, stuff happens. Washington looked a lot better than I thought they were going to look. And shout out to Ron Rivera. He's done an amazing job with that team, despite having an insane offseason. There's always one team that's got just some shit going on in the offseason. Last year, it was the Raiders. Last year was the Raiders. This year, it is the Washington football team. It was their turn. There was a new story every day, it felt like. So, shout out to Ron Rivera doing all this while going through cancer treatments, getting an IV at halftime. Really unbelievable. But yeah, the NFC is going to be interesting this year. Hey, team, what's going on in the Culture Report this week?
Hey, Joy. So Cardi B files for divorce from Offset after 3 years of marriage. Like, we know he cheated in the past and they got married like literally 3 months later. Well, apparently there's been rumors of more infidelity. And look, if this is accurate, Joy, a woman can only take so much. Like, no one deserves or needs to stay where infidelity is present. So good for her for filing. I mean, girl, ain't nothing like a peace of mind and being worried about whether or not your man is cheating on you. So Cardi will be fine.
Oh yeah, Cardi's gonna be fine. It's I don't know. I don't know what's going on, so I can't speak to what's happening in their relationship. All I will say is, as usual, we get attached to couples for no reason. Like, you hear the news, you're like, oh my God, it's like your friend is getting divorced. Like, oh my God, girl, what happened? But like, we don't know. We don't know what's going on. Yeah. Obviously, it was pretty much confirmed that there was some infidelity earlier in their relationship. Look, celebrity relationships are really hard, and sometimes that's just what goes down. And who knows, maybe that's it, maybe they just grew apart. I don't know. It just feels like the end of an era. It really does. You know, they were one of our rap couples, you know what I mean? Like, we got really like exclusively a rap couple, because Beyonce and Jay-Z are a music couple, but they're not necessarily a rap couple, you know? So this is like actually kind of rare what they had going on. It's kind of dramatic.
it's very dramatic. And I mean, we're also in a pandemic. A lot of people are spending time together. So I would assume there's going to be a lot of divorces. A lot of people realizing, hey, you ain't who I thought you was.
But so, you know, it's just kind of hard though in a pandemic too, because like, you don't actually spend this much time together in real life. So if you're going through relationship issues, you may just want to put it on pause, because when everything gets back to normal, you're not going to be up under each other like that, you know? It's just kind of a hard, you're really like examining what it's like to be retired together. Like, that's really what you're going through in the pandemic. It's like, because it's not normal for people to spend this much time together. Well, best of luck to both of them.
Yes.
You will thrive, Cardi. We got your back.
We shall do. So, Good Times animated series is coming to Netflix. Norman Lear, Seth MacFarlane, and Steph Curry are executive producers. Enjoy. I'm really not sure how to feel about this. I mean, I didn't grow up watching Good Times. I mean, it was a little before my time, but, you know, I say this all the time. Like, if you're going to do this, do it right. I mean, I would think that they would cast Black people. And I'm not trying to compare, because I know the bar has been set with the show, like, The Boondocks, but, like, Aaron McGregor, like, he did that. Boondocks will forever be one of the best animated shows because it's relatable to the Black community. So I feel like that if they are going to come out, well, when they come out with this series, I just hope that it's fun, funny, and relatable.
I think with those producers, it will be. Seth MacFarlane, Aaron Magruder, and Seth Curry is producing it, right? That's a powerful trio of people to be working on a show. And I mean, Seth MacFarlane obviously does animated series at the highest level. Magruder and the Boondocks. Boondocks is one of my favorite shows of all time. Unbelievable show. Still holds up today. So was just watching some episodes a couple weeks ago. It's still great. So yeah, I'm really excited for this. Now, if it was just a regular remake, I might be a little more skeptical, because it's a legendary show. But to do it as an animated show, that's a twist that I'm interested in. And I think with those people behind it, it's really going to be great. I'm looking forward to it.
Nice. Yeah, I talked to my friend about it, and she grew up watching Good Times, so she's excited. She's like, I would totally watch the series.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. They've got the right people working on it.
So, girl, I feel like I say this every week, but every time there's like a versus battle, I always say this is the best one. But Patty versus Gladys was amazing. Probably my favorite one. I feel like we had two legends in the same room, and you can feel the love between these two women. I just love their vibe. They are real friends in real life. And I love to see it. I mean, you can definitely, like I said, feel their energy. Patty was an entire mood. She kept saying, I forgot my lyrics. Make sure they're on the screen, kicking the shoes off. She was doing this like flapping with her arms. She was an entire mood. My grandma would play Gladys and Patty growing up, so for me, it just brought back a lot of like childhood memories. So I totally enjoyed it.
First of all, I need a sequin suit immediately. They both look amazing. What a vibe! I mean, it was just like hanging with your tipsy aunties you know, just going through their old songs, enjoying themselves, enjoying each other. It's all love and fun. It was spectacular. I mean, we knew it was going to be great. These are legends. They've been doing this for like 60 years at the highest level. So they're not just respected in the industry. They're legends. So this was really great. Like the verses, it's not that everybody who does the verses isn't a legend, but these two are in like a different category. This is like old school, not even your mama. It's like your mama's mama appreciates this music and it just carries through generations. When you're making generational music, you're in a different space. So, and that's not disrespect to any of the other artists who have done verses, obviously, but this one we knew was going to be special. Like, it had to be, and it was everything that it was billed to be. I loved it. I mean, just it was an absolute vibe. I'm getting a sequin suit. I'm getting one.
I may have to get one too.
That was fabulous. They looked great.
Yeah, they really did. So Keep It Up with the Kardashians is coming to an end after 20 seasons. You know, I think I watched it off and on until Kourtney gave birth to Mason. So that may have been season 6-ish or 7. But whether you like the show or not, I feel like that it's been super successful, obviously. It has launched so many different careers. Kris Jenner said in an interview with Ryan Seacrest that now seems like the best time to end the show and think about what's next for them. And it's like, regardless of what they do, I mean, they're set for life. So I did wonder, like, are the numbers even there anymore? Because I don't really know anybody that watches this show. Plus, we're in a pandemic, so a lot of shows are ending anyway. And I'd imagine E! Can't probably afford to pay them. No shade. But Charlamagne just said it perfectly. How do you pay a billionaire? It's like Kylie's a billionaire. And I mean, we obviously know that they don't need reality TV.
Well, I think that's kind of part of it, right? Like when they started the show, it was, it was a different era. Reality TV was like huge, and you had The Hills, and you had, you know, Paris and Nikki and Real World and Jersey Shore. Like it was at the height of reality television. Like that's what everyone was watching. Well, now everybody's watching Netflix and everybody's watching Hulu and HBO Max and, you know, Apple Plus. Like it's just shifted how we consume TV, and we like to binge, and there's YouTube now and Instagram. Like there's so many more distractions. So Keeping Up with the Kardashians isn't like at the top of everyone's list of shit to do. So it's not surprising that the show is ending, and all things come to an end. So this is a good transition point for them to get out of reality television. Now what they do next, I mean, who knows? Whatever you feel about the Kardashians, Keeping Up with the Kardashians was the genesis of their success. Like the reason anyone cares about Kylie Jenner's lips is because of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So they've shaped I can't even say American culture. They've shaped the culture of the world, like how we deal with celebrities, how we respect celebrities and their privacy. And like, they've had a major influence on everyone's lives, whether you wanted them to or not. Like a Kardashian society is essentially what we live in right now. And I'm not a hater. I've never hated the Kardashians. I feel like they just did what we all made available to them. And by we, I don't mean me, because I never watched the show and I never bought any of their products. So I am immune from whatever was shopped out there. And it wasn't like out of principle. Like I don't really enjoy watching other people live their lives. Like I have stuff to do and things I like to accomplish. No diss to anybody who watched the show, obviously, but like that's just not my thing. If I'm gonna watch reality TV, I need to be trash. Like I wanna watch Rock of Love. I want to watch Flavor of Love. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to watch just madness that I feel like I'm never going to participate in. You know what I'm saying? So respect to the Kardashians and everything that they've done. I've never hated on them. I think that, you know, they just, people watched. So they kept doing what they do as anyone else would do. Like, if you think you're morally above what the Kardashians are or created or have done, you're not. Like, just, it's again, like some of you, very few, very, very few of you are, but most people would definitely take the opportunity to be super, 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 super duper, duper rich if it came along with being all of those supers and dupers famous, which comes with a lot, constant public scrutiny and everything else that they have to deal with, because that's the deal they made, being that famous and that rich. So I'm cool with the show going away because I never watched the show to begin with. But it's definitely been an era of our society, and it's definitely played a major role in shaping social media and celebrities and privacy and lots of other things, beauty products, just a lot, sex tapes, lots of stuff.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Maybe I'm Crazy podcast. Make sure you follow us on YouTube, go subscribe, and follow us on our social media pages at Maybe I'm Crazy Pod. And you can listen to the podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts: Spotify, SoundCloud, iHeartMedia app, and Apple Podcasts. Forgot that one there. Shout out to the Maybe I'm Crazy Fantasy Football League. I did not do well in any of my fantasy football leagues this week. Took an L in all of them. It was very, very discouraging, but hopefully we'll bounce back next week. You don't care how I did in fantasy, but I care how you do in fantasy. So tweet me at Joy Taylor Talks and have a great week. Thanks for joining us.
Maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm not. Ooh!